Dear friends in Jesus Christ, think about yourself for a moment. Is there something that you're afraid of? What I want to do today is share with you here at the beginning some of the most common things that people are afraid of. Number one on the list, the fear would be called social anxiety. So people are around other people, but they're basically afraid to interact with them because they're wondering, what are people going to think of me? Are they going to judge me in some kind of a way? Another fear that people have would be a fear of heights. So how many people are willing to walk on the skywalk there at the Grand Canyon? About an 800-foot drop, it's a glass bottom. Maybe many people would not be comfortable doing that. What about spiders and snakes? Now, some people like to handle them. There's one right there, Bronson. But I think most people, though, would not want to be too near spiders and snakes. How about flying? Many people do fly. They fly all over the world sometimes. But when you think about it, though, when you're flying, you're up very high, and God didn't put any wings on us. The birds have wings, they fly, that's a natural thing, but for us to be way up high, that can be a fearful thing. What about darkness? When we think about young children, they can be afraid of the dark and they want a nightlight. Kind of a natural thing in a way, but what about us as adults, so if it's complete darkness, are we kind of wondering what's in this darkness? Do we maybe have a little bit of a fear? And then, of course, it's a common thing in the world in the last year or so. Many are fearful about getting a disease, whether it would be COVID-19, whether it would be cancer or something else. Now, what does that lead to? Then people have a fear of dying. Someday that will happen, but God wants us to know that when we are in Christ, we don't have to fear dying. We don't have to fear anything else as well. No matter what we are afraid of, what ends up happening would be this. So we have the fear leads to anxiety, and what is anxiety? Anxiety is a peace destroyer. Peace is a wonderful thing. God wants us to have peace in every circumstance of life, but when we have the fear, it goes to anxiety, and it destroys the peace. So today's sermon, we're going to focus on God's greatness with these desired results. First of all, knowing of God's greatness, we are going to trust in Him more. We're going to see how He is worthy of all of our trust. Also, too, today, trusting in Him more, what I'm hoping and praying will happen, that our fears will shrink and our peace will grow. These are going to be great benefits for all of us. And also, too, trusting in Him more, what should happen? We will grow in our patience to accept our circumstances, whatever they might be, and we will wait on Him to take action. We will understand better that God knows what's going on, God will take action, and God will take action according to His timing, not according to our timing. Today we're focusing on the Old Testament reading, but before we get to the reading, though, a little bit later in Isaiah 40, I want to share with you a couple things that are earlier in that chapter that I didn't want to just skip over. In the little bit I share with you here, I want you to think about the topic of water, and really what we're talking about here would be oceans. Then we're going to come to mountains, and then we're going to come to nations. Notice what the Bible says. Talking about the Lord God, it says, He measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. And then it goes on and says, He weighed the mountains with a balance. Think about how big a mountain is, and yet here is God weighing it with a balance. Also, too, it goes on and says, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. So tiny in light of the greatness of our God. And also, too, regarding the nations, it says they are regarded as simply a speck of dust on the scales. What I'm trying to say here is, from our perspective, oceans, mountains, and nations are so very large, and yet, from God's perspective, they are so very small. That's getting us going in the direction I want us to be thinking today. We're going to come to more such things as we go further now in Isaiah chapter 40. Let's think about God's greatness in comparison to us. Now we're in verse 21. Let me read some of Isaiah 40 to you. The Bible says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He," we're talking here about Yahweh, the Lord God, "it is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." So what about us in comparison to God? Well, we are certainly so much smaller than oceans, mountains, and nations. The Bible says, in comparison to God, we are like grasshoppers. So pretty insignificant, right? But what is amazing, though? God is so huge. God is so great. We are so much nothing. And yet, God loves us with an everlasting love. God provides all that we need for this life and the life to come. God sent His only Son not only to live for us, but then suffer the agony of the cross, suffer our eternal punishment on the cross. And what does He do now? To the entire world, He's calling everyone to repent and to believe and to have His blessings not only now, but to have them in Christ forever and ever. So what about our fears in comparison to God? Let's know that God is so great that may our fears seem so small. So let us trust in Him. Let us be at peace. Let us not be afraid. Let us not worry. We're going to build on that more as we go here. Let's get into the second part of the sermon. Let's compare God's greatness in comparison to rulers and judges. As I come to this topic, some rulers and judges are doing a great job, and they are honoring God with what they do. Other ones are evil, and we might even be fearful of them because they are evil. Notice what it says here about God in comparison to them. Picking up in verse 23, it says, talking about God, "He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, and who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but He," talking about the Lord God, "He merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble." Think about the great rulers in the world, in our nation, in the past, in the present. When you think about them, they seem to have such longevity. They seem to have such great influence. They seem to have such great power. And what about judges? Judges have the power to either imprison or release. They have the power to uphold justice or pervert justice. They also seem so powerful, so untouchable, they can do anything and they seem to get away with it, don't they? Isn't that the world that we see? However, though, let's understand that we need not fear rulers or judges who are evil and who are opposed to us. Why is that? Let's keep in mind the perspective of our great God. So these evil rulers, these evil judges, they are like a plant. They are like an annual. So think about an annual. It is quickly sown, it is quickly grown, and it is quickly dead. That's what the Bible is saying here in Isaiah chapter 40. God also wants all rulers, all judges, and even everyone else to know that if they continue in unrepentance, they're going to face the divine judge, and they are going to experience his eternal wrath. So God is calling all of them and everyone else who is unrepentant to repent, to do so today, to don't put it off to tomorrow. Tomorrow could be too late. Then we go on to the third part of the sermon today, and we come to God having created the stars, having called them by name. The Bible says, "To whom then will you liken me?" Talking, this is God talking. "To whom then will you liken me that I would be his equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." We are located within the Milky Way galaxy. How big is our galaxy? I want to talk about how long it would take you to get from one side of our galaxy to the other side of our galaxy. So you have to keep in mind that we're going to be traveling at the speed of light. Now, normally when we talk about the speed of light, we're talking about going so far per second. But I thought it might be helpful, though, to convert that over to miles per hour, since that's what we're used to in driving in our car. So the speed of light converted over to miles per hour is 670 million miles per hour. So you probably have your seatbelt on. So you're traveling that fast. Keep in mind now, the Milky Way galaxy is an average-sized galaxy. So you're going to go from one side to the other, and that's going to take you about 200,000 years at 670 million miles per hour. Now, they used to say you could do it in 100,000 years, but with further study, they're finding out our galaxy is bigger than they thought, so they had upped the number to 160,000 years, and now they're up to 200,000 years. What else can be said? Well, when we think about the stars, the Bible says practically nothing about them. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, it simply says, "He made the stars." Just like kind of a little side issue, no big deal. He made the stars. That's what it says. However, though, when we think about our galaxy, how many stars are in our one galaxy? There are 100 billion stars in our one average-sized galaxy. That's hard to even comprehend that number, isn't it? 100 billion. So to put it in perspective, if we began to count the stars in our one galaxy, and we counted one every second, it would take over 3,000 years to count the stars in our one galaxy. And now I'm so glad you're sitting down, because the question is, how many galaxies are there? How many galaxies? Well, there are at least 200 billion galaxies, and some estimate there could be as many as 2 trillion galaxies. Is our God great or what? I mean, we are talking about a God that is just unbelievable in every way. So when our God gets bigger and bigger and bigger, what happens with our fears? They should become smaller and smaller and smaller. What happens with our problems? They should become smaller and smaller and smaller, especially when we remember that not only is God super great, but he loves us with a super love. He is with us always. He is intervening in our lives. He's going to watch over us and carry us all the way through to heaven. Let us trust in him. Let us be at peace. Finally, in the last section here, let's keep in mind that God knows everything. So we should wait on him. We shouldn't be anxious. We should wait on him. The Bible says, continuing here in Isaiah 40, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?" Do you ever feel that way? Like God doesn't really know what's going on? Like there's some kind of a situation here and God doesn't know about it? Or do you ever feel like you're being mistreated and you're thinking God should intervene and God should help me, and yet he isn't? Those are somewhat normal and natural ways to think, but we should know that they are not true. There is never anything going on that God doesn't know about, and God is going to bring justice to everyone, but he's going to do so according to his timing, not according to our timing. And then as we come to the end of the reading here, the bald eagle is quite a bird that God has created, quite a wingspan on that bird, averaging about 7 feet, even though we might not think that from the pictures. But we're going to pick up the topic of the eagle here in the end of this reading. The Bible says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is incomprehensible. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Think about the energy of young children. Isn't it amazing? You know that, don't you, Heather? The energy of young children. And then think about the strength of young men. Wow, they are so much stronger than old men. But what did God say, though? God said, with the energy of the young ones, the children, and the strength of the young men, God says, those who wait on him will have even more strength. God is giving us great encouragement to patiently wait on him. Let me conclude in this way. I want to share 3 things with you. Let's pick up a truth from today's sermon and let us know that God is super great. God is super strong, far, far beyond our comprehension. Let's be sure of that. Let's also know that there is relevance here today. God is far greater than my fears. So what should that mean? I am at peace. Let's always make the word of God greater than our feelings. When our feelings are above the word of God, then we're going to be anxious. When the word of God is above our feelings, then there is perfect peace. And then finally, a little bit of inspiration. Since God knows everything and God will take action at the right time, what should we conclude? Because I know those things, I am going to patiently wait on him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so in amazement of you. Wow. We pray that you would help us this day to focus on you more and more, beginning this day and going forward, and grant us more and more of your peace that passeth all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.